Welcome to The Word for Today. The Word for Today is a continuous study of the Bible taught by Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently teaching from the Old Testament. And for those of you following along in your Bibles, we'll be continuing today in Isaiah chapter 10, beginning with verse 5, as we continue with an in-depth message entitled, The Destruction of Assyria. Now with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now God addresses the Assyrian nation. And here God calls them the rod of my anger. In other words, Assyria is to be used as God's rod of punishment. God is going to use this wicked nation of Assyria to be his instrument of judgment against his people that have turned from him. You are the rod of my anger. You're the staff in their hand of my indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation. Remember the Lord said that they were hypocritical and all? And so he said, I'm going to bring them against this hypocritical nation. I will send them against a hypocritical nation, against the people my wrath, and I will give him charge to take the spoil, to take the prey, to tread them down like the mire of the streets. God is ordering the Assyrians to come and just to wipe them out. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. He doesn't realize that God is using him, and that it is God who is given this nation to them. They don't realize that. It's just they have a heart to destroy. For he says, are not my princes kings? They take great boasting in their power. Is not Calno as Carchemish? Now, they had already conquered Carchemish there at the Euphrates. Calno was a city in the northern part of Syria. And they said, hey, we've conquered the bigger city of Carchemish, you know, and Calno's no different. We'll conquer it. Is not Hamath, another city of Syria, like Arpad, which was already conquered by Assyria? Is not Samaria as Damascus? They'd already conquered Damascus. And so the capital of Israel, Samaria. You know, and so they were bragging about what they'd already conquered, and these other cities were not really as great or as strong or equal to the cities already had fallen to Assyria. As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, of whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and Samaria. In other words, in those days, they felt that to win in a battle was a sign that your God was greater than the gods of the cities that you had conquered. And most of the cities had their own local deities, their own idols and images. And so the gods that were worshipped by these other cities that we are already conquered, they're really greater than the gods of Samaria or Jerusalem. They excel them. So, you know, if these gods of these other nations could not deliver them, surely then, you know, the God of Israel can't deliver Israel. As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, graven images that excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria. Shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and to her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? So he's bragging about what he's already conquered, and Jerusalem's going to fall. Wherefore it shall come to pass, when the Lord has performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria, and the glory of his high looks. So God says, I'm using them as an instrument, but it will come to pass that when they come against Jerusalem, I'm through with them and I will destroy them. They've got this pride, this stout heart, the heart of pride, and so he will destroy them. For he saith, that is, the Assyrians were saying, by the strength of my hand I have done it. And by my wisdom, for I am exceedingly wise, I have removed the bounds of the people, I have robbed their treasures, I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man, and my hand hath found as the nest the riches of the people, and as one gathers eggs that are left, I have gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing, nor opened the mouth, or peeped. I shut them all up. I destroyed them all. There was none that could stand against me. I've gathered the eggs. I've taken the spoils of war. But then God speaks to them. They have been just an instrument in God's hand, but they are acting as though they were it. You know, it's a glorious thing to be used of God as his instrument. It's marvelous when God takes your life and uses your life as an instrument to accomplish his work. But oh, how careful you have to be that you don't get carried away and think it's because you're something special, that you have found a new secret of success, that you begin to boast of what you have done, what you've accomplished, as though it was you and not God who did it. Paul said, what have you but what you have received? If there is any value or good in your life, it's there because God has done it. And if God has done it, then why do you boast as though God didn't do it, as though it was of yourself? Now, here Isaiah shows how ludicrous it is for the instrument to boast. Shall the axe boast itself against him who is hewing with it? Can the axe say, look at the tree I cut down? The axe can't do anything. Just lie there. It's the strength of the guy that's wielding the axe that brings the tree down. The axe is only the instrument. Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that is using it? The saw says, look at this giant redwood that I just cut down. No, the saw was only the instrument. At best, I'm only an instrument in the hand of God. And it is ludicrous to boast in what you have done. You're nothing. Without God, you're just lying there and can do nothing. It's as though the rod would shake itself against them that lift it up. That is turning against the one who is lifting the rod. Or as the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood. In other words, the rod or the staff can't do anything by themselves. But they're turning against the one who is using them. And that is the absolute degree of folly, is when a man used by God begins to turn against God. Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, the Holy One being Jesus. And it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and all of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer faints, and the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, as a child may count them. So few left that a child... Now, talking about this tremendous Assyrian army that's going to invade the land. They've been God's tool, God's instrument, but now they are boasting against God. So their day of judgment is coming. When they get to Jerusalem on Mount Scopus, as they are there threatening and telling all they're going to do and saying, what God is there that can deliver from our God and from the Assyrians? Where is the God of Samaria? Where is the God of Damascus and all? They weren't able to help them. Their gods weren't able. Neither is your God able to help you against Assyria. But God said he's going to destroy them, and he did. And there were so few left, he said, that even a child could count the number that remained. Now the vision of Isaiah goes from the immediate out to the future, out to the day of the great tribulation. It shall come to pass in that day of the Lord, the great tribulation, the day of judgment on the earth, that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. God is not yet through with the nation of Israel. There is coming one final 7-year period in which God is going to deal with the nation of Israel. There were 70 sevens determined upon the nation Israel. 69 of them were fulfilled from the time the commandment went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah the Prince. 69 sevens. But there is one 7-year period left in which God is going to deal with Israel as a nation. That time will begin when God destroys the invading Russian army that will soon be moving into the Middle East. And God wipes out that invading Russian army. At that time, God will again deal with Israel as a nation, and you are entering in at that point to the final 7-year cycle of God's dealing with the nation of Israel, which will culminate in the return of Jesus Christ in glory. So here he speaks of this remnant. We read that God is going to seal 144,000 of them, and that they will be protected from the judgments of God that will be poured out. Revelation chapter 6. Then we also read that God will take those Israelites that are able to survive, this remnant, and he will bear them to the wilderness, where he will preserve them for 3.5 years during the final great tribulation period. And they will be preserved. So this remnant, God is going to deal with the remnant of Israel, those that have escaped of the house of Jacob, and they will not any longer trust in man, but they'll trust in the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. And the remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. They'll call upon God. At first, the nation of Israel will also be deceived by the Antichrist, for he makes a covenant with them, in which he grants them the privileges of rebuilding their temple. And they will hail him as their Savior. But then he will show his true colors after the temple is built and they reinaugurate the worship and the sacrifices. He will come to the temple and stop the daily sacrifices. He will proclaim that he is God and demand to be worshipped as God as he stands in the Holy of Holies. And he sets up an image of himself in the Holy of Holies, desecrates it completely. And at that point, those Jews that are left, as he turns against the Jews to slaughter them, those that can escape are taken by God and preserved by God in the wilderness. Actually, the area of the rock city of Petra in Jordan. We'll get that in a couple more chapters here in Isaiah. But God will preserve this remnant for that last 3.5-year period. So the remnant shall return unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel are as the sand of the sea, tremendous number of them all over the world, yet they're going to be decimated, and only a remnant of them shall return. For the consumption that is decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all of the land. And therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He will smite you with a rod. He will lift up his staff against you as the manner of Egypt. But yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and my anger in their destruction. I will destroy them in my anger, and the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him, according to the slaughter of the Midianites at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up as he destroyed Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing of God. So, he speaks then of the coming of the Gentiles, and we have here the progress of the Assyrians down towards Jerusalem. Aath is about 10 miles north of Jerusalem. The Assyrians are coming, taking Aath. He's come to Aath, 10 miles away. He's passed Migron, even closer to Jerusalem. At Michmash, he hath laid his carriages, the chariots and all. He sort of left some of the stuff there at Michmash as he is approaching Jerusalem. They are gone over the passage. They've taken up their lodging at Geba and Ramah, which is just outside of Jerusalem. Ramah is afraid, and Gibeah of Saul is fled. Just north of Jerusalem, the Assyrians have moved in already. Lift up your voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard upon Laish. O poor Anathoth, Madmena is removed. The inhabitants of Gibbon gather themselves to flee. As yet shall he remain at Nob that day, and shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem, or Mount Scopus. They'll come all the way down, and they'll be parked now on Mount Scopus. Today, Hebrew University is on Mount Scopus. In fact, we often take, when we go to Israel, as we come into Jerusalem, we take the people first to Mount Scopus, because you have such a tremendous view of the city of Jerusalem from Mount Scopus. Mount Scopus is actually a continuation of the Mount of Olives. It goes from south to north, and it's the northern part of the continuation of the Mount of Olives. And it has a tremendous overview of Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, anywhere in Jerusalem, you see Mount Scopus there. It's a very prominent in view of Jerusalem, so that as the Assyrians now are mounting their forces, the people realize Assyria has conquered these other places just north of us, and there they are. They're setting up their camp. They're beginning their siege of Jerusalem itself. But the prophet said, behold, the Lord of hosts shall lop the bough with terror. God's going to cut off the branch with terror. The high ones of stature will be cut down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by a mighty one. So God, through Isaiah, predicts the fall and the judgment of God upon this invading Assyrian force. Now, cutting down the high ones, hewing down the haughty, lopping off the bough, talking about cutting down the tree, cutting off the branches and all, a figurative sense. But that moves right into chapter 11, the next prophecy of the Messiah. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. And in this next chapter, we get our next beautiful prophecy of Jesus Christ. And so we'll move on into chapters 11 and 12. But we're dealing with another tremendous prophecy of Jesus, the branch out of the root of Jesse. Face to face.
Chuck Smith will return with a few closing comments. But first, I'd like to remind you that today's message is available in its unedited form on cassette or CD. Simply write or call and ask for ordering details on tape or CD number C3246. Again, that's tape or CD number C3246. Well, it's that time of year again. It may seem innocent, but the symbols of Halloween, like black cats, jack-o'-lanterns, and trick-or-treat, all have roots in sorcery and Satanism. We would never knowingly get involved with anything related to Satan, but many Christians don't understand what's really behind the pagan holiday. The Word for Today would like to offer you a presentation hosted by Pastor Chuck Smith called Halloween, Trick or Treat, that traces the pagan origins and history of Halloween. This powerful movie uncovers the mystic rites and ceremonies of Satan and will forever change your opinion of Halloween. Every year, as the end of October approaches, we are faced with the dilemma of family and friends pressuring us to participate in the celebration of this pagan holiday. This documentary will definitely challenge you to decide whether or not you'll continue to participate in this tradition. If you'd like more information on Halloween, Trick or Treat, then simply write or call and ask one of our operators for the ordering details. Again, it's called Halloween, Trick or Treat. And right now, if you place an order, the Word for Today would like to bless you with Pastor Chuck Smith's pamphlet, How Can a Man Be Born Again? Absolutely free. Instead of just giving candy this year, the pamphlet is the perfect tool for Christians to share the gospel with loved ones and friends. Available in both English and Spanish. Again, it's free when you call right now. To order Halloween, Trick or Treat, for yourself or for a friend, you can call the Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. Or write to us at P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-272-9673. And for those of you that would like to visit our website, you can do so at www.twft.com. Or if you would like to email us, you can do so at info@twft.com. Well, coming up next time on The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck will be continuing his fascinating study through the book of Isaiah. That's coming up next time on The Word for Today. Closing prayer. Here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we pray? Father, we see the warnings that you gave to the people by the prophet Jeremiah, trying to get their attention in so many different ways, forcing them to hear when they didn't even want to hear. And Lord, we see the tragic consequences of their stubborn resistance to your love and to your grace. We see the judgment that came upon them, even as you warned. And Lord, we see our nation and we're deeply concerned. As we see the same kinds of patterns developing, as we have forsaken you, the fountain of living waters, and people are burning their incense to various gods, the gods of the flesh, the gods of pleasure. And Lord, we see their rebellion against you and against your righteous laws. And we know, Lord, that you are patient and that you are long-suffering, but we also know that you are just. Lord, deliver, we pray, your children. May we be accounted worthy to escape these things that are going to be coming to pass upon the earth. May we be standing before you, there around the throne of God in your glory, when that day of judgment comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This program is sponsored by The Word for Today, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.